أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون، أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة، ولهم عذاب عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. عما بعد، الله عز وجل states in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, as we have done these verses before, Alif Lam Mim, this is a scripture in which there is no doubt, containing guidance for those who are mindful of God, who believe in the unseen and are steadfast in salah, and spend out of what we have provided them, those who believe in the revelation sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in what was sent before you, those who have firm faith in the hereafter. They are upon guidance from their Lord, and it is those who are successful. Then this is what we done in the last lesson, and is connected to today's lesson. Indeed, those who disbelieve, it is all the same for them, whether you warn them or whether you do not warn them, they will not believe. And today's, inshallah, today's verse we will do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَابَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah has set a seal upon their hearts and upon their hearing, and over their vision is a veil, and for them is a great punishment. Number one is, we are obviously doing Surah Al-Baqarah, and we start by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding of the Quran, and first and more so than this is to give us ability to practice it upon the Quran. Here the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse, it connects to the verse we done last week. How that in this verse explains the reason for the previous verse. So if you look at the previous verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, indeed those who disbelieve, it is same whether you warn them or do not warn them, they will not believe. This verse gives a sabab, why? Why is it like this? Because as here, as Allah says, their hearts and their ears, they have a seal. And their eyes have a covering. And what it means in very simple terms is that the avenue of knowing or information, understanding, are closed. When these avenues are closed, then there's no aspect of change. And this is why a thing which is sealed, here Allah Azza wa Jalla telling us that their hearts and their hearing is sealed. And a thing that is sealed, literally nothing can enter from outside when you seal something. And this is why when the seal is in the heart, no good thought comes in. When the seal is set within the capacity of hearing, accepting the truth in whatever, you know, direct, whatever way you want to call it, that is taken away. And this is why this word, first of all, khatama, you know, khatama Allahu, the word khatama, it literally means to put a lid or a cover on something. So you put a cover on something and you then tie that thing up. Right? So, for example, if this bottle, it's open, you put a lid on it, and then you actually literally tidy up. So you can't even open anymore. That is literally, you can say, khatam. It's completely sealed. And if it does, like this opened, you will know. And as we know in the previous generations, they would do this with letters. They would have a seal. And even till today, if you get a letter from one of the royals or whatever it is called, they actually have a seal on it. And then you break the seal. Or in today's day and time, you know, in today's day and age, easy to understand is the phones. You know, when you buy a phone, what the first thing you ask? Is the phone sealed? Meaning, is it brand new? Meaning, is it sealed? If that seal is open, then that price decreases instantly. The price decreased. Whether it's not been, you know, the phone may not have been used, but the price has decreased. So here, khatama is literally that something is sealed. And this is why, previously in classical Arabic, they would literally say, khatama al-kitab wal-bab. So the book has been finished. You know, today we have a printing press, right? And in those days, the books would be written. And they would write at the end of the book, khatama al-kitab, meaning this book is now finished. Meaning nobody can write anything on it. That's it. Anybody that writes anything on it is not from the author. Wal-bab, meaning this chapter is finished. So that's why in the classical books, you find this still. It says, khatama al-kitab, that this book is now finished. So don't bother writing anything on anywhere on it. If you write, you're writing from your own will, not from the authors. The author has nothing to do with it. And this is why khatama is something, as we just said, that nothing can enter it except for what is inside. And this is where Allah Azza wa Jalla is relating to us. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. Allah has set a seal upon their hearts and upon their hearing. Now the first connection, actually, one of the connections why Allah states here first what? عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah has put a seal on their hearts. One of the reasons why Allah has used hearts first and the prime focus of it is, you know, we started this surah with Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi, that this book, there's no doubt in it. Doubt comes from where? Again, the heart. Hudan Lil Muttaqeen, then it is guidance. Guidance again from the heart. Taqwa is also from the heart. You know, the last lesson we done, Inna Alladhina Kafaru, those that disbelieve. Disbelief again is from the heart. So in the very same way, Allah Azza wa Jal, keeping up with this, started with the heart first. And this is a connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting us know that what we are literally talking about is the heart. And here again, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then here also, here relates, وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. And over their vision is a veil. The question simply is, why is it so that the heart and hearing is a seal and the vision is a veil? So, looking at Quran, قُلُوبِهِمْ and سَمْعِهِمْ has khatama for it, a seal. أَبْصَارِهِمْ, meaning what we see, أَبْصَارِهِمْ is what we are seeing, vision, غِشَاوَة, which is a veil. Literally, you know, you put a veil, you can't see. That's why a veil is for, right? Why do we have a veil? So you can't see. So, the question is, why did Allah Azza wa Jal use these different words? It could have just said, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, and not use the khishawah. Meaning all of them is a seal. And one of the reasons why the Qur'an is describing the condition of those disbelievers, number one, is in terms of their hearts and ears that have been sealed, meaning that nothing is going in. And we'll explain this in a while. But in the eyes, it refers to a covering. And there's a subtle aspect is that the distinction arises from the fact that an idea in the heart can arise from anywhere. The idea in the heart arises from anywhere. I mean, you don't know where it's going to come from. Come from a person talking to you, come from your phone, anything. You have no idea where it's coming from. And again, sound, direction, anywhere, 360. Right? It comes from anywhere. You can hear sound literally from anywhere. And this is why Allah called it a seal. Whilst meaning the idea, any idea is blocked off, meaning a good idea here, and any sound is blocked off. But when it comes to the eyes, it's only in one direction. I'm looking this way, so I can see this way. I turn to look this way. So I'm looking at a certain direction. I don't know what's happening behind me, unless somebody tells me. My eyes can't see what's behind me. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, you just have to put a cover in front of it and that's gone. You can't see it. And the subtle aspect is that the heart and the ears, they take in from so many different places. But the eyes take in what you look at. You can't take in what's behind you. If even what's front of you, you close it, you can't see. Right? When it comes to the ears, you have no aspect but to hear unless you put your fingers inside. Unless you literally close them. You have to literally listen to it. Thoughts come into the heart. These thoughts are whether created by eyes or ears, or whatever it may be so. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us that Allah has put a seal for those disbelievers in the previous verse on their hearts and the hearing, and on their vision is a veil. Right? And we can understand why this veil is there now. Why the difference between the veil and the seal. Then the next question is this verse literal or metaphorical, or is non-literal? Is it literally a seal in the hearts, or does it mean something else? So here the mutakallimun and many of the mufassirin, rahimahullah, including Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Qatadah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, they all relate that this verse is not literal. It is not, meaning it doesn't specifically mean there's a seal, and it doesn't specifically mean that there is a veil. But what they relate is that these people that are related here, their habits have become to the extent that they cannot differentiate between good and bad. And meaning that the ability to do good has ceased from them. Khatam ho gaya. It's gone from them. Hence, a seal over their hearts indicates not wanting to learn the message of Allah and not pondering over this message. Seal on the ears again, not wanting to listen to the message of Allah. A seal on the eyes is what you see even though you know it's true, you don't want to accept it. Though Imam Hassan al-Basri, so this is one camp they have said is non-literal. Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he relates that this is literal. And he says that those that have disbelieved have a seal on their hearts and a veil on their eyes. Though this is invisible to our eyes, meaning the eyes of insan. And he relates that this can be witnessed by the angels when they see a person. That angels, when they see someone, they know that this person is doomed. That is gone. And they know that this person cannot bring iman. And they curse this person even more. And they supplicate for believers who have the light of iman, or have the ability to believe. There's a weak hadith that supports his claim. But again, the hadith is weak, but it still supports it. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is related in Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah, relates. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates, the angel that puts seal on the hearts, he holds the arsh of Allah, the leg of the arsh of Allah. So the leg of the arsh of Allah, he's holding that. And when somebody consistently disobeys Allah and openly mocks Allah Azza wa Jal and transgresses and openly transgresses to the aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah then orders this angel to place a seal over this person so that after this, no truth even sinks in. And this is where the literal Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala relates that it is literal. And he relates, just like we as humans, we can see black and white, you know, see something black, you know that this is black. You don't need to think about it. You see something white, you know this is white. We don't think about it. We know that there's a differentiation. In the very same manner, these angels can see dirt and filth in that same manner. That this is a seal, meaning that this person is doomed and this person is, inshallah, going to do good deeds. Now, this is the first thing. So number one is very important for us to understand here, that these three things that have been given to Allah, to us by Allah, the qalb, the sam, and the absar, heart, ability to hear, ability to see. These are bounties and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the first thing that's mentioned is khatam Allah ala qulubihim, upon their hearts. And the most important aspect of a person is the heart. The heart is not just a piece of meat. It has been mentioned in the Quran as aqal, qalb, fu'ad, you know, different words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. The reality of it is that our thinking process is to do with the aspect of the brain. But the intention is synchronized with the heart. So we have an intention and a thinking ability. But the intention, so then these both get synchronized within the heart, which gives us then the ability to want to do something. And this power of intention, this is classified, as Allah says, fu'ad. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ad, that your ability to see, the ability to hear, wal fu'ad, the ability to, you know, intend to do something that we have given to human beings, you will be questioned in relation to this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why these are blessings from Allah, and these are means of us gaining closer and gaining knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they are not used correctly, Allah then says, summun bukmun umyun, that these people are deaf, blind, and dumb. Because they're not used any of these aspects. They're not literally deaf, blind, and dumb. But they, because of not using it for the right reasons, this is what we become. Deaf, blind, and dumb. And this is why we are told to understand and reflect within our hearts, and this is the center of disembarking any good. And one of the reasons why also, you know, in Surah Al-Hakum Al-Takathur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the fire of Jahannam, تَطَّلِئُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِذَةِ, in Surah وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ, كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ, Allah says that, you know, these people that think we're invincible. You know, we have, Allah in this surah, very specifically, is trying to say, you know, people that have a lot of money sometimes have this notion of invincibility. I get ill, I got the money, I'll get my treatment done here. I got a problem, I got money, I'll get it done here. Right? Meaning, jama'a ma'lan wa'addada, yahsabu anna ma'lahu akhlada. Akhlada means I'm invincible. I can do what I want. And you will see this. You see this today's day and age. Right? Unfortunately, we see this with Muslims as well. Akhlada, I can do what I want. Pesahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla, no way. لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ, they will be thrown into the fire of Khutama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this fire will penetrate within the heart. This fire will penetrate through the heart, within the heart. And one of the reasons for this is, these blessings, the heart should have wanted to do good for these blessings. It was a center of aspect of to do good. Because it didn't, we will punish you from the starting of this also. And this is why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us that خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, you know, those that disbelieved. It's same. There are some disbelievers, سَوَاءٌ, it's the same. Whether you want them, whether you don't want them, they are not going to accept Iman. And the reason for this is that a veil has been placed, a seal has been placed, number one, on their hearts, number two, on the hearing, and number three, a veil on the eyes. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, and for them is a great punishment. So number one is, as Muslims, the heart, we are meant to try to keep pure. It's very, very important that the heart we're meant to try to keep pure. And this will happen with all the other limbs that we keep pure. And this is why some of the Mufassirun Rahimahullah, some of the classical tafsir, they also relate here. The real punishment is وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, that we will give them a great punishment in the hereafter. But because of their arrogance and their boastfulness and not even wanting to know about Allah, they also get a punishment in this world. And some of these punishments, they are they come in such form that the ability to reform is taken away. The ability to reform, that's completely taken away. And this is why a person ignores, how does this happen? A person ignores one's deeds. He doesn't assess that on the day of judgment, I'm going to be questioned. Just keeps on doing sins, keeps on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he loses the awareness of evil itself. We see this in today's day and age. Salah, is it really a sin that you will get? We know that we have to read our salah. This is something basic as this. We're not even talking about the rest of the stuff. But that awareness is gone. This is why, you know, one of the du'as that we recite, يَا مُصَرِّفَ الْقُلُوبِ صَرِّفْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَىٰ طَاعْتِقْ, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that has the ability to change the heart, change it towards ita'ah, towards obeying you. We're asking, this is a du'a that we ask Allah. Oh Allah, change our hearts and give us ability to obey you. Give us ability to go within your commands. And this is why, according to a hadith, it's a famous hadith, when a person commits a sin, a black dot appears, as we know this hadith. And then the first dot, it disturbs him. You know, today, the very easy way to understand this is, if somebody gave you pork, and said, you know, this is so nice, and your iman was weak. In another country, your iman is a bit weak, and they gave you pork. Because anything else I will say is normal, unfortunately. You eat it and you're like, you know you're doing wrong, and you know that you're feeling this wrong. This is wrong. So that black dot, that first black dot that comes in, you know it's wrong. Right? But then what happens is, just as a person smudges with a white cloth, the black dot goes away. So a person then tawbah to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. That dot's gone. But then the person eats it once. Then tomorrow he's asked again. He says to himself, you know what, I ate yesterday. I need to stick with the crowd. You know, you get this question, I need to stick with the crowd. Thoda sa pili alcohol, what difference does it make? I had some drugs, what difference does it make? I did some haram in riba, interest, what difference does it make? Right? Everyone's doing it. I need to stick in with the crowd. So he done it once. He probably felt bad. He didn't smudge it off. He didn't do his tawbah. He does it again, he does it again, he does it again. What happens? It becomes normal. He doesn't see any bad of it after about half a year, 1 year. And this is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is letting us know that instead of doing tawbah, instead of asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, he commits this sin, another dot comes. Then another dot comes and he multiplies until the whole heart turns dark and he is no longer able to see good or evil. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that nay, their hearts have become ran, their hearts have become rusted with darkness, عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, because of what they have done. And this is why then, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi here relates, you know, the limbs, they follow the heart. Meaning, let me just finish this quote off and then we'll explain this. The limbs follow the heart, but the actions of the limbs affect the heart. You have to, first of all, say to yourself, I want to do something. I want to pick up this laptop. And then your hand will pick it up. So this is following what you want, your intention, you can kind of say. Whatever the intention may be. So, for example, I want you thinking twice, should I indulge in interest? Should I indulge in this haram? Right? This heart is telling you yes or no. And sometimes it could be telling you both. Now, you go and do it. So the limbs are following the heart, that's what he means. But then he relates that the actions you do will affect the heart though. So after you do those actions, don't think that the action is finished. Meaning, I done this sin. Bas, khatam ho gaya. Done. I looked at something I'm not meant to be looking at. Very simple. Easy way for all of us to understand. I looked at something I'm not meant to be looking at. It's not like this. I finished looking at it, and it's finished. The sin is finished, yes. Right, the sin is finished. But the effect on the heart is not finished. This is what Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi is saying. And he relates this, that you will experience this in your own life. That when you commit a sin, the sin itself, you finished it. But afterwards, you'll find that the heart will become rusted because of this. And you will need to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Mujahid rahimahullah then relates here. He says the heart, so khatam Allahu ala qulubim, the heart is like this palm. Right? The heart is like this palm. And he relates that, you know, when you do a sin, he goes, put a finger down. You do another sin, put another finger down. Another sin, put another finger down. Another sin, put another finger down. Another sin, put the whole finger down. He goes, you can't see the palm anymore. What he's trying to say is, goodness in your heart, you can't see it. You can't see it anymore. This is the example Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi gave, so you can understand, we can understand this. And Imam Qatada rahimahullah relates here, they follow the ways of shaitan, and shaitan overpowered them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a seal on their hearts and ears and a veil over their eyes. For that reason, they will not be able to comprehend the light of guidance, and they will not be able to listen to the voice of truth and understand its meaning. And this is why next question that comes here is, Allah says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. There's three alas. Right. Technically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just said, we put a vision, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ, Allah puts a seal, عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, on their hearts, وَسَمْعِهِمْ, on their ears, وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ, and their vision. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, and for them is a great punishment. You could have literally done this and would have not needed all those alas upon. So the question is, why do repetitive of upon? So here Imam Razi rahimahullah ta'ala relates here. He relates that أنها لما أعيدت للأسماء كان أدل على شدة الختم في الموضعين. He relates that, you know, the reason why you have this ala. You know, if a child comes to you, it's the easiest way, because this is what we understand in this day and age. So unfortunately, this is what I'm going to have to use. So if you have a son or a daughter, and you say to her, she says to you, or he says to you, Dad or Mum, I've had enough of university and school. I'm giving it up. What do you think the parents' reply will be? They need to convince them, right? That what you're doing is, you know, totally gone as. So what will they say? Beta, if you leave now, you will not get a job. You will not be able to buy a house. That doesn't happen. If you don't get a house, you will not be able to find a wife, a suitable wife. You will mess your life up. And then, you know, some truth to it, right? But why are you getting to? You will not. What am I trying to? You're trying to put something within inside them. It's the way you're doing it. You could have just said, if you don't, your life will, you'll mess your life up. That's it. But to make it more and to, you know, be specific, you've added all of these aspects on.
In the very same manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to say to us, the shiddatil khatmi, that the severeness of the seal, is the seal is on the heart, then the seal is on the ears, and there's a veil on the eyes. For us to understand that all of these aspects are happening. It's not just one. These are multiple aspects happening here. And this is why Imam Razi rahimahullah is, that this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ala sam'ihim, ala absarihim. And a question that arises here, that if we consider the two verses together, if we consider إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ, what's there? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ خَتَبَ اللَّهُ, then we kind of understand that they are being punished because of their arrogance and their pride. Kept on committing sins. And you know their own will of having a choice to do something, they destroyed that. Meaning they've done so much sins and they habitually became such like that, that they destroyed their ability to even think that I should maybe do this. That maybe there is a Allah. Maybe what am I going to do when I die? This ability they even taken out from themselves because of the sins. And this happens when somebody sins so much and when he's intoxicating in wealth, in the world, you'll see that this all of these aspects go. Right? So here Allah, and they have completely ruined themselves. Now, before we finish, one extra thing I wanted to add on here. In the previous, in Aqaid, so this is an Aqidah thing. In the previous eras, in Aqidah, there were two groups that were deviants, that were astray, we could say. One was Mu'tazila, and the two that we're doing here, and Jabariyya. Right. The reason we say this, you know, when we used to study this, we used to say, why have we been told about some groups that came so many hundred years ago? The reason being, you know, all the groups that come today, by Allah, they will all come from those groups. They'll be the same thing. The questions are the same. Right? The names change. That's all it is. The names, they change. The names become a bit more flashy. But the groups are the same. And the mentality is the same. Right? So, the number one was the Mu'tazilites. The Mu'tazila were very famous, actually. The Mu'tazila, they said that taqdeer, meaning predestination, is not something that we believe in. Because if we believe in this, then what are we rewarded or punished for? Right? If we believe in this, what are we rewarded or punished for? The Jabariyya, so that was a Mu'tazila. Right? The Jabariyya, they say, which is also a misguided sect, by the way. They say, everything is the will of Allah, which we agree, including the aspect that humans have no will and no ability to do what they want. Right? So the Jabariyya say this. Right? Here, the Ahl al-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah. It's a term that we probably will hear so many times. Ahl al-Sunnah, the people, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his famous hadith where he said that there will be so many deviant sects, but the one that will be saved is the Ahl al-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah. Meaning that one that follows the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that of the companions, or that the companions have followed. Wal-Jama'ah meaning the companions, and the pious predecessors come after this. So Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, we relate here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not shun us of free will. Allah did not shun us of free will. You know, you want to jump up, jump up. Simple, right? You want to go eat, go eat. Right? We can do that. So you have the ability to do that. You want to read four rakats after this? Read four rakats. You want to read it now? You can read it now. You got ability to do this. Right? But at the same time, we do not have complete control, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not have complete control like Allah, because Allah has a complete knowledge and power. We don't have complete control. Like somebody might say, I want to jump up. Jump up. Right? But what will happen if you jump up 1,000 times? No idea. It's a really stupid analogy, to be honest. Right? But what I'm trying to say is, we don't really have control of the knowledge of what's going to happen later. As we all know this. Right? Allah subhanahu, we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this knowledge. We will only be asked by, we will be asked by Allah azza wa jal about the free will that Allah has given us. This will to accept Islam, the will to do good or to do evil. Allah says, we have shown good to you, we have shown evil to you. It's up to you which one you take. And this is why, although Allah Azza wa Jal has the knowledge of everything and knows the deepest of secrets within the hearts of the people, in which Allah knows who will accept Iman, Allah knows who will reject, but this will happen with the will of the person. This will happen with the will of the person. The Mu'tazila that say that predestination is not a thing. Allah already knows what's going to happen. Because Allah had the knowledge of what's going to happen. But that doesn't mean we don't have the free will to do it. And this is where we differ with the Jabariya also. That yes, Allah has ability and understanding of everything. But that doesn't mean we don't have free will. We do have. We are able to do and to do good if we want to do good. Yes, we are told in this verse, there are some disbelievers that this free will is not taken away. It's gone because of this continuous habitual aspect of committing sins. They're still there. You know, sometimes, and you know, remember one thing, we said this in the last lesson. We don't know, by the way, who are those that have a seal. We don't know. It could be that the worst person that we know, we give him some dawah, or somebody gives him something, say something to them, and they become Muslim. They have Iman. So we don't know where the seal is. And it could be someone that we think, but they have committed so many sins that this ability has gone. And, you know, a very simple way to understand sometimes this is right. You have ability, you know, in this modern day, right? In the modern day and age where we are in, you know, we play computer games, right? So you have ability to go this way and go this way. Right? In a game, you can go this way, you can go this way. You go this way, you land somewhere else. You go that way, you land somewhere else. The producer of the game obviously knows which way you... If you go this way, what happens? If you go this way, what happens? Right? But yeah, the producer doesn't know which way you're going to go. Which way you're going to go. Unless they look at they analyze the way you play and stuff. Right? In the very same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where we're going to go. Allah knows where we're going to go. Allah knows what happens if a person will go there or will he go there. When he will do dua. This is all in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we as human beings have this ability. Should we do this? Shall we not do this? This ability we have. Yes, some aspects take sacrifice. No one's denying this. But ability is there. And this is why we do have this ability. And this is what we will question on in the Day of Judgment also. And then so Allah is saying here to us, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Those disbelievers, why is there no point? Remember, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted everyone to come into Islam. Harisun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted everyone to become Muslim, to save them from the fire of Jahannam. Right? Allah is saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then telling us also, not all of them will come into Islam, even if you give them da'wah. The reason being, many of them, we have put a seal within their hearts and their listening and a vision on their eyes. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And then Imam, before this, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, Imam Muslim, we'll do one hadith and then we'll finish. Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, relates, there are trials of the heart just like a reed mat is woven. No, you get a woven mat, right? It lights stick by stick. So there are going to be trials just like a mat is woven, right? Stick by stick. You know those mats we see, especially back home, stick by stick. And any heart afflicted by them will have a black mark put into it. But any heart that rejects these trials, this fitan, this destruction, will have a white mark put inside it. Thus, there will be two kinds of hearts, one pure like white gemstone, and the other, and it will not be harmed by any tribulation, even if the heavens and the earth endure. and the other is black and dusty, like a worn out vessel, neither recognizing good or rejecting evil, but rather immersed completely in his desires. And then he says that this is that stage in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And this is, you know, in a day and age we live in, we'll see trials come after trials. You know, the straw mat, meaning one is done, the next one comes. One trial comes, the next one comes. And we are going through trials and trials for our iman. It is from us to try to protect our iman. And the last bit, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. You know the first punishment, خَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ. It's like a punishment, if you want to think about it. خَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. We're being told that, yes, this is like a punishment. But this is what's going to happen in the world. This is what happens in the world. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. In the hereafter, they will have a severe punishment. And this is the eternal punishment of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Inshallah, from next week, we will start to do about the munafiqeen, about the hypocrites. This is just two verses about the disbelievers. So that, and now then there will be in length, in quite a length, about the munafiqeen, about those that are hypocrites. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us ability to understand. And mainly, may Allah protect our hearts, our hearing ability, our eyes, and make them be able to guide us towards what is good. And may Allah keep our hearts pure. May Allah keep our hearts pure. Number one is to listen to the Quran, to take inside the Quran, to take in the word of Allah, and to take in the word of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik wa sallillahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.